Book of Psalms this morning. We'll be in Psalms chapter number 22. Psalms chapter number 22. And that's certainly a good habit to get into, is the running to the Lord when we get in trouble. We know we're at a good place in our spiritual life when that is our first reaction, not our last one. And a lot of times we'll run to a lot of other things, and then when those can't help us or those don't work, then it's like, oh yeah, maybe I'll go to God. But we need to reverse that and just immediately go to Him when we feel overwhelmed. Psalms chapter number 22, I'm going to read the first verse this morning, and that'll be our text verse, but I want you to keep your Bibles open because if time permits, we will reference the entire chapter. And so don't let that scare you. There's 31 verses. We're not going to go verse by verse through it this morning, but we are going to reference the entire chapter depending on time. But I want to start with verse number 1 of Psalms chapter number 22. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? I want to use that first verse of this Psalm of David, and I want to preach this morning on remembrance in the midst of abandonment. Remembrance in the midst of abandonment. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you this morning grateful that we can run to you, grateful that you are aware of our needs. You've never forsaken us. And Father, I pray that you would just use the message this morning. Once again, there's one unsaved. May they say yes to you today. May they yield their will to this plan of salvation, to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will give you the honor and praise for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice the words of David in Psalm 22 that we just read. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the wounds of my roaring? Have you ever felt abandoned? You ever felt alone? The words that we read this morning, and we can relate to them, and sometimes we can be in a crowd of people and feel alone, feel abandoned, feel forsaken. Have you ever felt that? Maybe you're feeling it today. May I say to you, you're not the first person that's ever felt that way. We can go back approximately 2,000 years, and these are the very words of our Savior on Calvary as He is taking upon Him the sins of all mankind. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we can go back 2,000 years to the Lord Jesus during that time. That's pretty significant, but let's go back 1,000 more years from that point, and we find David in Psalm 22 writing these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That forsaking, that feeling of helplessness and that feeling of I could be helped, but for some reason, help has not come. He says, why art thou so far from helping me? He doesn't just feel forsaken. He doesn't just feel abandoned. He can't even see help on the horizon. Knowing that God is able, knowing that God is capable, but yet he still feels as if he's forsaken. This psalm that records the writings of David, as we understand the significance of it, it is certainly significant if our Lord Jesus quotes these very words while he's on Calvary. We find significance in this psalm. And just so that we have an understanding of it, this is a psalm that begins in the valley of suffering and ends on the mountaintop of victory. Let me say that again because we need to hear that. It's a psalm that begins in the deep valley of suffering and ends on the mountaintop of victory. You can be in the valley of suffering. That's the beginning. That's the start. Because of the Lord Jesus, because of the love of God, it ends on the mountaintop of victory. You may say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with. I may not know what you're dealing with, but I know who God is. And I know if David could be in the valley and end up on the mountaintop, my God is not a respecter of persons. Friend, let's remember, David was called a man after God's own heart, but can we just be reminded of something this morning. God does not love David more than he loves you and me. And God wants to grant victory even in the times of your valley when you're alone, you feel forsaken. You can begin there, but you don't have to end there. Perhaps you'll say, well, Pastor, I'll never in this lifetime, I'll never get victory from this, but aren't you thankful for that place called heaven? Aren't you thankful that that place that is being prepared for you and I, where every day is a mountaintop there? See, we know this psalm and it's familiar to us already because Jesus himself quoted these opening words while on Calvary. See, it's a psalm of prophecy. David has no understanding of the crucifixion. That cruel execution has not been invented yet. There's no way that he could even begin to understand what is going to take place 1,000 years later. But then we have Christ, the Son of God, nailed to the cross of Calvary, connecting back to the throne of David, if you will, and saying the very words that David said 1,000 years later. It's a psalm of pain. You read the Bible, there's passages of Scripture that you read in this supernatural book. Can't you almost feel the tone, the pain? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? But friend, it's not just a psalm of pain, it's a psalm of praise. We come to the end of it and we find something to praise God about because God doesn't leave us in the valley. As we think of this, we get a picture of the cross of Calvary. We get a picture of Christ coming to pay for the sins of mankind. And I want us to see a few things this morning, and I want you to feel optimistic today. And I'll get this started by just saying, I just have 3 points instead of the normal 4. But there's a lot of sub-points this morning. Maybe first notice, number one, the agony of abandonment. Let's read verse number 1 again, and we'll continue reading. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. This is David saying, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far away? He says, I cry in the daytime and I get no response. Well, you, those emotions brings those tears. You, what's going to happen now? He says, it's so overwhelming to me that not just in the quiet of the night, but in the day, it's so heavy, I feel so alone, I'm so abandoned, I'm so low that I shed those tears and I get no response. He is not accusing God because he reminds himself, but he reminds us. He reminds God that he says, I know you're holy. I know thou inhabitest, you're in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. He's looking for that same deliverance that he knows is available. But friend, you sense and you understand that there is agony. See, David, approximately 3,000 years ago, expresses that agony, that emotion. Approximately 1,000 years from this point, you have the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, came to be the lamb, led to the slaughter. It would be his blood that would provide the atonement for sins. He's the only one who could provide that atonement. And in that picture and in that moment, he has taken upon him the sins of all men, your sins, my sins. There is no little sins or big sins. All sins damn us to hell. All sins are offensive in the sight of God, and he's paying for every one of them.
It was in that moment these words that certainly have meaning became fulfilled in their true meaning and purpose. Because it was in that time, is that moment that the Son of God, our Savior, felt forsaken by God, not because he had done something wrong, not because of his sin, but because he was willing to take upon him our sin. And God, who is holy, God who is perfection, God who cannot tolerate sin in his presence, while he was taking upon him the sins of mankind, the Son of God said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" See, there are times, if we can say David, I would say David is a hero of the Bible, wouldn't you? He had failures and flaws, but God did call him the man after his own heart. If he could feel this way, and if our Savior, while he was bearing the burdens of mankind, could feel this way. Friend, let me help you this morning. You're not being picked on because you feel this way. You're not the only one who's ever felt this way. You're not the only one who life circumstances has brought you to this point, and it seems like you look around and say, "Where's my help coming from? God, why have you forsaken me? God, why haven't you come and got me out of this situation?" Let me remind us this morning that even though these individuals, we have the ability of looking back. If you've been in church any length of time, you're familiar with the Bible at all, you know that David did not stay in the valley. God came through for David. And friend, if you know anything about the Scripture, if you know anything about the Gospel, Jesus wasn't left on that cross. He's not still there today. Oh, God had to turn his back on him. The skies darkened. He took upon him the sins of the world. But Jesus did say, "It is finished. The price was paid." He gave up the ghost for you and I. He gave his life, raised from the dead 3 days later, conquering death and hell. He didn't stay on that cross. What happened? The time passed. God came through. God intercedes. And friend, just because you feel this way today, it doesn't mean that God is not able, God is not listening, God is not present. I could summarize this, my whole thought today, but this point. Reminding you and I of the character of God. See, I'm thankful that God does not come to me in those moments where I feel forsaken because of my character. And friend, you can be in a valley this morning because of your character or because of the character of somebody else. But God doesn't come to us based on our character. God comes to us based on his character. And aren't you glad we have a holy God? Aren't you glad we have a loving God? And no matter what we do and where we fail, and let me remind you, the Bible tells us, he remembereth we are but dust. Aren't you thankful that when we are surprised, God's not surprised because he understands we're dust. He understands we're limited. He understands we have failures. He understands that we cannot make a way ourselves. Here's a thought for you. I'll give you one thing to think about today, and this is it. Life's too big for every one of us. There's nobody who can navigate life successfully. There's no one. Say, "Well, if I was born in a different situation, I'd have no problems." No, you just have different problems. "Oh, if I hadn't grown up in this kind of a home, I wouldn't have these characteristics and I wouldn't have this." No, you just have different ones. But you know where that all ends up? In a place where we cannot save ourselves.
We cannot help ourselves. But aren't you thankful that when you can't see God's hand, you can trust His heart? You know His character. That's what David's saying. David's saying, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far? You could almost get the sense in his words that if I could see your coming, that would give me some hope. That would give me some strength. And I can say, I can just hang on a little bit longer because he's coming. Hang on a little bit longer because I can see that he's on his way. But when I can't even see that, and I shed my tears in the daytime, I shed my tears at the nighttime. But then he reminds himself, and we have the reminder today, that God's character is one of faithfulness. And that's what he's saying. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. It's who you are, God. I may not be able to see you. I may not understand why I'm here. And I may be in despair. But let me be reminded, faithfulness is who you are. Faithfulness is your character. And friend, when our character is not faithfulness, or we find ourselves just by life circumstances in a situation we feel forsaken and abandoned, we must be reminded of God's character. Then number two, let me remind us of something else from this chapter. We see this, and I don't know how much of these, many of these verses I will read, but from verse 6 down through verse 21, we find the depths of suffering. He says in verse number 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. This is David. Let's take just a moment and be reminded of who we're talking about. This is David who, as the shepherd boy, that young man, smote a lion and a bear. Now, one of my favorite descriptions of any Bible story is when David kills the lion and the bear. Say, just in general, no. The scripture tells us that he grabbed them by the beard. You know, I'm not talking about your kitty cat at home. I'm talking about a lion. I'm talking about a bear. He didn't have a rifle where he put the scope on him from 200 yards away. And then go back to, I killed a bear today. Okay, you hunters, grab him by the beard. David looked them in the eye when he took their life. This, you probably shouldn't say this from the pulpit, so if you ever get a pulpit, don't say it. But he was a bad dude. I mean, we call these outdoors men, and they are. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like I hiked for 3 days and did this, and I killed my bear, and I did this and that. That's great. But that ain't grabbing them by the beard. Look at them in the eyeball. In essence, he's saying, Mr. Bear, Mr. Lion, the last thing you're ever going to see is me. He is going to be king. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. David got to a place where he described himself as a worm. He's a reproach, despised of all people. I wonder if we can relate to David this morning. I can't relate to David grabbing a bear by the beard. I can't relate to kneeling at the feet of the prophet Samuel and having him anoint me as king. I can't relate to taking a sling and a stone and using it to kill a giant. But I can relate to, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of all people. Friend, I think if we're honest, that sentiment would not be mine alone. Because I don't know of anybody who's ever grabbed a bear by the beard. And if you say, well, where's the evidence that you don't believe that? Because you're here and not somewhere else. Nobody here has taken a sling and a stone and slain a man who could not be killed by another man. Nobody here has been anointed king of Israel. But I would dare say most of us, if not all of us, can relate to a point in our life where we're so low, we feel so abandoned, so forsaken. I don't even feel like a person. I don't know if I even rate as a man. A worm might be similar, because here I am forsaken by all, and he's looking and saying, where is my help? Because man has forsaken him. And whether it was a conscious decision, some of that was or not, but he was just in a situation, hear me now, that only God could pull him out of. And friend, you're in a church this morning that if you get in a valley, you will be prayed for and you will be loved and you will be helped as much as can be helped. But there are some situations in life where your pastor can't get you out of them. Your Sunday school teacher can't get you out of them. Your brother and sister in Christ can't get you out of them. Only God himself can get you out of it. By the way, when you're in those situations, don't get bitter at your pastor. He's not supernatural. He's not God. There are some things he cannot get you out of. Don't get bitter at your Christian parents. Don't get bitter at the people you go to church with. Well, I was in trouble and they didn't bail me out. They didn't get me out. Some things we cannot get you out of. We're not supposed to get you out of. Only God himself can do it. I don't know if I'm going to get to point three, but I want you to notice when it comes to suffering, I think this is an important point for us to understand to help us face it. In verses 6 through 8, David is documenting his humiliation in his suffering. One of the worst things of suffering is not just the suffering, but it's the humiliation that goes along with the suffering. We shouldn't feel this way when things are not going well, when we're suffering, whether it be physically, emotionally, or there's some situation that life has just overwhelmed us. We cannot solve the problem. We cannot get out of the valley. And it seems like we're all alone. Where's God? Where's part of suffering is the humiliation. A reproach of man. Despised of the people. Well, why are they going through that? Why is that situation?
Can they not do fix themselves? Can they not pull themselves out of? But look at verse 7. And all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. There's humiliation and suffering. Oh, we have what David writes here. We also see the prophetic connection in Matthew 27, the crucifixion of our Lord, where the religious leaders mock Jesus. They wag their heads and say, let his father, he says he's the Son of God, let his father deliver him. You must be prepared for the fact that when you're suffering in this manner, when you feel completely forsaken and abandoned, there's humiliation in that. But not just humiliation. And by the way, Christ was willing to be humiliated for you and I. Christ was willing to be mocked for you and I. There's humiliation and suffering. There's also the physical agony. David describes his body in verse 14 and 15. He says, I'm poured out like water and his heart is like wax. He says his strength is dried up. This mirrors the physical torment of the crucifixion, where the Lord's joints were dislocated. Dehydration. The weakness of almost suffocating. Where there's physical agony. We understand and we're reminded of the spiritual suffering of our Lord, and we should be, and we're grateful for that, but may we not minimize and neglect the physical agony that our Lord went through. The physical suffering. We see in verses 16 through 18, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierce my hands and my feet, I may tell all the bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments, verse 18, upon them and cast lots about my vesture. Go to John chapter 19 and you find those soldiers gambling at the foot of the cross, gambling over the garments of our Lord. Once again, David is speaking of his situation, but he's prophesying of the Messiah, the Savior, to come to pay for the sins of the world. And let me just get way ahead of myself because I feel like saying this now. David had no idea what he was writing. But in his valley, it still was not about him. It was about the Lord. And friend, you think it's all about you in your situation. You think you're suffering because it's just about you. You think you're alone just because it's about you. You think you're having that agony just because it's about you. You think you've been forsaken and I've called and said, who's going to save me? God, where are you? You think it's just about you, but it's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. How can he be magnified? How can he be lifted up? David has no idea. That very thing is going to play out concerning our Lord. We see verse 19 through 21, but be now thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Still talking about the humiliation that he's going through. He's asking for the plea of deliverance. He starts the chapter, you're not here, but would you be near to me? Deliver me from the sword, from the lion, from the wild dogs. Would you deliver me from those things? Might I say, if Jesus endured all the suffering that he endured for us, you can endure whatever suffering you must endure. Nobody in here likes to suffer. Emotional suffering, physical suffering,
spiritual battles, spiritual suffering.
And I don't want to pretend that it's pleasant, and I don't want to pretend that it's fun. But can I just say to Christians this morning, as bluntly and plainly as I possibly can, if Jesus could endure the suffering so that you might have forgiveness of your sins, not freedom and forgiveness from His sins, He had no sins, but from your sins. Yes, beg God, plead with God, deliver me from this, but you can endure. You don't have to quit in your suffering. You don't have to change in your suffering. You don't have to get angry and bitter in your suffering. You don't have to like it, but endure it. Carry it day after day. If you have to get up the next day and say, God, where are you? When will you deliver me? Do that. But if Jesus can endure it, you and I can endure it. We must learn to cry out to God in desperation, not as a last resort, but our first and constant refuge. He never changed what He believed was the recipe, the solution. Let me very quickly touch on number three, because I don't want to leave you fussing at you. We see the praise of victory in verses 22 through 20, or through 31. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Yet ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him, and all ye the seed of Israel. For He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath He hid His face from him, but when he cried unto Him, He heard. My praise shall be of Thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. And they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship, and they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that He hath done this. David declares, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. We don't have time, but if you want to mark down the reference, Hebrews 2:12. It's a verse that references Christ after His suffering. He stands in the midst of His people declaring victory. Verse 24 of this chapter, for He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Let's read that again. I don't want us to miss that. Verse 24 of chapter 22 of Psalms, for He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath He hid His face from him, but when He cried unto Him, He heard. Just because David couldn't see Him, just because David was in that despair, David also reminds us He hasn't despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. It's not because it's so bad in your situation that He's like, I just can't deal with that. I mean, have you ever said that about a situation you're going through or somebody else is going through? Oh, that's all the way. I just can't deal with that. That's not God. That is not Him. He hears our cries. We see David is going from pain to praise. Now, as we read this chapter, I've read this chapter many times. I can't find a change of circumstance. Between the pain to the praise, I can't find it. It's almost as if David just said, I'm going to rely on who God is, and I'm going to praise Him. And friend, you and I can be reminded that Jesus did not stay on that cross. Because He did not stay on that cross, we are not left in despair. You and I can follow this pattern and say, well, if I'm going to suffer and I'm going to shed tears and I'm going to be in these circumstances, I can at least praise God for who He is. He may not have chosen to pull me out of this yet, but I know that He can. I know that He hears me. I know that He's near. But friend, as we look forward from Psalms 22 to the coming of our Lord, we see Psalms 22 begins in darkness. It begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a pretty desperate start. Are you with me this morning? Still got your Bibles open? I'm going to skip a lot of stuff and just end with this. Look at your Bible, chapter 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can we all agree that David is in despair? Can we all agree that David feels forsaken and abandoned? We've already documented that he says, I'm not even a man, apparently. I'm just a worm. People mock me and make fun of me. That's his mental state. Are you with me this morning? Have you ever been there? That's where we start. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now look at the end of the chapter, verse 31. And then let's look at the last five words. That he hath done this. It begins with despair. And it ends with what God did. And friend, might I say, that is a good picture of who Psalms 22 is talking about. We are all in despair because of our own sin. Man was hopeless without Christ. But when he went to Calvary and he finished the work on Calvary, by the way, he was crucified, died, and rose from the dead one time. We're only saved one time. And by the way, we're not waiting on the Messiah to come. He's already been here. He's paid the price. He's risen from the dead. He's coming again. But he's not coming as the lamb. He's coming as the lion. I can remember and I can recall when I was a child. I'm sitting in a kindergarten classroom. You say, how can you remember that? Well, when your mother's your teacher, there's a lot of things that you get scarred from. You can't go home and be like, I don't know what the teacher meant when. But I remember the lesson that morning on the crucifixion of Christ. And I remember the little elementary lesson in broken down that even a child could understand that we are sinners. And there's a payment, there's a penalty for our sin. And it was explained in the mind of a child. And by the way, if you don't think a child can be saved, you disagree with Jesus. Because we've been reminded that unless we have the faith of a child. You didn't have to convince me I was a sinner. I'd been sent to the principal many times by my own mother. But I remember in the mind of a child feeling forsaken, alone, isolated, as a worm. Because the best I could understand as a child, I knew I was a sinner. And the Holy Spirit of God had convinced me of that. And the Scripture had spoken of the fact that I had to pay for my sins. But oh, that story of Calvary. It starts from why hast thou forsaken me to he hath done this. And as much as I could understand as a child, I knew he hath done that. So that I don't have to pay for my own sins. And friend, this morning, life may be twisting you and turning you, and you may feel forsaken, but the first thing you need to get reconciled this morning is your spiritual soul. Are you lost without Christ? So I just don't feel close to Him, because you have to know Him. You say, well, what has God ever done for me? He sent His Son to pay for your sins. He sent His Son to take upon Him your sin debt. He hath done this. And Christ, who would come 1,000 years or so after David pens these words, it is Him who said to His Heavenly Father, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? It's because He had the burden of your sins. He paid the price, but He came forth victorious. See, this is why, no matter what your circumstances, if you're a child of God, you can be in despair, you can feel forsaken and abandoned, but you never are. Because you have your name written down in that Lamb's Book of Life. Your eternal home is being prepared for you. And yes, God is near, and God can pull you out of those circumstances. But the day is going to come when we're all going to be pulled out of this old world. This old body that fails us and ages. Our mind, our circumstances, our shortcomings, the effects and the actions of others. So somebody who believes the Scripture, we feel all alone in this world. Friend, we're not alone. He hath done this morning. Don't depend on your character or your goodness for your salvation. Because every man who has ever lived, who refused the sacrifice of Christ and said, I will meet my God on my own character, everyone will spend eternity in hell. Because our character is not what delivers us. His character, His perfection, His goodness, His glory is what delivers us. Friend, as a practical matter in your everyday life, do you feel alone, forsaken? There are some things you have to go through, humanly speaking, alone. But that does not mean that God doesn't know where you're at. And at some point along the way, God will give us the help to turn that pain to praise. Where are you this morning? Is that where you're at? You've tried everything else? Why don't we try praising God for who He is? Praising God that He's always faithful. Friend, are you lost on your way to hell this morning? You might say, I don't even know what that means. But friend, if you've never had that time, you've realized you were a sinner, realized you could not save yourself, no man, no church, no anything could save you, but what Christ did on Calvary. Today could be your day of salvation. Our heads are